WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. Residents in several places in the northern Shenandoah Valley are debating proposed data center projects. Morale in Albemarle County's police department is down, according to one survey. And old-fashioned pinball and video games are thriving at parlors around the state, and we visit one in Charlottesville. This is the WMRA Daily for Tuesday, June 16th. Local government leaders and residents are navigating multiple proposals from developers to build data centers across the northern Shenandoah Valley. WMRA's Calvin Penn reports.
The way we see it when it comes to this local decision-making is that there's very little oversight at the federal level or at the state level.
That's Kate Walford, executive director of the Alliance for the Shenandoah Valley. Part of their mission is to inform residents and advise local governments throughout the valley on how to navigate data center proposals.
So it really depends on local governments, county boards of supervisors, or city councils to be scrutinizing these proposals.
Local governments across the northern end of the valley have had their work cut out for them. Strasburg is weighing a proposal for an 80-acre data center that would be built on the town's industrial park next to I-81. In surrounding Shenandoah County, planning commissioners recently advanced a draft ordinance that would restrict how and where data centers could be built, a first for the county. Meanwhile, planners in Warren County and the town of Front Royal have debated amending their zoning codes to allow data centers in their industrial districts while also pushing to cap the size of the buildings at 100,000 square feet. Water consumption and electricity demand have been top of mind for many residents living where data centers have been proposed, according to Walford.
We're in a pretty severe drought, and we know that data centers can be very thirsty industries. We know they use just an astonishing amount of energy. And increasingly across the industry, we are seeing data centers proposed to generate their power on site.
As local leaders continue weighing the proposals while residents share their concerns in public hearings, state-level discussions continue regarding the extent to which taxpayers should subsidize the data center industry, which is currently exempt from the state's sales and use tax. The state budget for the next fiscal year must be passed by the end of this month. For WMRA News, I'm Calvin Penn.
You can find a longer version of this story at WMRA.org and on our app. Tomorrow, we expect a report from WMRA's Aisha Pirga on a public hearing in Strasburg regarding the Project Talmadge data center proposal. Morale in Albemarle County's police department is down. That's according to a recent survey. The Daily Progress reports that's despite other positive news out of the department recently, including falling violent crime rates and new accreditation for the department. The countywide employee engagement survey found double-digit declines across roughly two dozen workplace measures within the department, including teamwork, inclusion, psychological safety, communication, and confidence in leadership. Among the most notable declines, the percentage of respondents who described the department as providing a positive work environment fell by nearly 17 percentage points since the last time the survey was administered in 2023. Harrisonburg officials say that a chemical used near Court Square caused the deaths of hundreds of fish in Black's Run. WHSV reports the dead fish were found last Friday near Ruby's Arcade. City spokesman Michael Parks said the city estimates that between 400 and 600 fish were killed, the majority of them minnows. Parks said that the chemical was a snake repellent called Snake Stopper, and was placed around 64 Court Square and then made its way into Black's Run Creek, killing the fish. Is Virginia at risk of losing its credit rating because of the budget impasse? Radio IQ's Michael Pope reports.
Virginia has the gold standard of credit ratings, triple A, the best credit rating out there, at least for now. But the current budget standoff could jeopardize that, says David Bieri at Virginia Tech.
Who are the ratings for? The ratings are for investors, and investors worry about unpredictable issues as far as budgetary resolution is concerned, and they worry about uncertainty in general. In that sense, what we're currently seeing out of Richmond should give us some pause.
The idea that the credit rating agencies on Wall Street would look at the budget impasse in Virginia as a reason to downgrade the Commonwealth Well, that seems kind of far-fetched to Christopher Harrington at Virginia Commonwealth University.
I find it hard to imagine that a credit rating agency would downgrade us simply because of a budget impasse. I don't think there's precedent for that.
The deadline for the House and Senate and governor to come to some kind of agreement is the end of this month. I'm Michael Pope.
Part of President Trump's big, beautiful bill included significant changes to how states run their Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Programs, or SNAP. The price tag for Virginia is in the hundreds of millions. Also with Radio IQ, Brad Kuttner reports.
I mean, it's a big deal. It has to be a whole system overhaul.
That's Arlington Senator Barbara Favola talking about changes coming to Virginia's SNAP program. Designed to feed the hungry and support folks until they can take care of themselves, President Donald Trump has said it's rampant with fraud. To that end, Trump shifted administrative costs from a 50-50 split between states and the federal government to 75-25. States also need to get their error rates down to 6%. Virginia's is around 11%. In the Senate budget, they're estimating it'll cost just over $100 million. Favola said it's because Virginia runs the program through localities.
And we need to ensure that they know the rules, that we, the state, can oversee what they're doing, and that we can hold them accountable.
In the House budget, Henrico Delegate Rodney Willett estimates costs at over $200 million.
Yes, we wanted to do better on the error rate. There's money that goes towards that, but just keeping the lights on the program now is a lot more expensive for Virginia.
Daniel Mintz is with Code for America, a nonprofit that works to improve the delivery of government services. He said the error rate is less about, quote, fraud and more about administrative errors. And while some of the new changes have already cut about 80,000 Virginians out of the program in the last year, he's looking for silver linings.
We hope that this is an opportunity for states to build on some strengths that they already have and make their systems as a whole more efficient and effective.
Updated SNAP error rates are expected by July, setting up new financial benchmarks for next year's budget. In Richmond, I'm Brad Kuttner.
The Central Shenandoah Health District is notifying the community of a raccoon found near Nottingham Lane in Waynesboro that tested positive for rabies last Friday. The Virginia Department of Health said that officials are seeking information about humans or animals that may have been exposed. The raccoon was euthanized due to injuries that indicated a potential encounter with another animal. The health district said that while humans know when to avoid approaching a wild animal, other animals may not. He also said it's important to keep your dogs and cats up to date on their rabies vaccines. And if your pet is attacked by a wild animal, it should always be reported to the local health department or animal control authorities. Anyone with information regarding exposure to the raccoon via a bite, scratch, or contact with saliva is asked to contact the Stanton Augusta Health Department Environmental Health Office. The number is 540-332-7830. Rabies can be deadly if it is not treated. If you are bitten or scratched, wash wounds with warm soapy water and contact animal control, the health department, or your health care provider. More information about rabies can be found at vdh.virginia.gov. UVA Health University Medical Center has named a new CEO. Tammy Snyder, currently a senior vice president at Rochester Regional Health in New York State, will join the team in Charlottesville later this summer. Snyder, who has worked at Johns Hopkins Medicine and New York Presbyterian, has a master's of public health from Yale and more than 15 years of experience in her field. She will replace interim CEO Kathy Baker as head of the Teaching and Research Hospital on August 3rd. Full disclosure, UVA Health underwrites programming on WMRA. Two teenagers from Honduras were released from government custody in Prince William County last week. They were held at a youth health center for more than 300 days. WAMU's Jackson Sinnenberg reports.
The two minors came to the U.S. seeking refugee resettlement after their father died. A family friend agreed to sponsor them. The pair were represented by the American Civil Liberties Union of Virginia. Attorney Sophia Gregg says their detention is part of a pattern.
It was similar to in Trump 1.0, the processing delays by using technical administrative errors where sponsors aren't filling out applications in the exact right manner and subjecting them to vetting and revetting and revetting.
The Office of Refugee Resettlement released the teens Wednesday after a court ordered the government to explain why their request for release shouldn't be granted. The ORR told WAMU it does not comment on individual cases. The teens are now with their family friend.
Jackson Sinnenberg reporting. You can find all of WMRA's reporting on immigration enforcement locally at WMRA.org and on our app. Finally today, at a time when people routinely play games on their phones, it might surprise you to learn that old-fashioned pinball and video games are thriving at parlors around the state. Radio IQ's Sandy Hausman paid a visit to one in Charlottesville.
The world's first pinball machine appeared in 1931, costing a penny to play. 11 years later, games were so popular that people began betting on their outcome, prompting a ban on pinball in New York and several other cities. Many technical improvements followed once a lawsuit made pinball legal again. The addition of flippers, colorful art, and sound effects made the games more challenging and fun. Today, computerized games with high-resolution visuals are available on home computers and tablets. But a market remains for the old machines and arcades.
People who have seen these machines back in the 80s and 90s and early 2000s, they see the games and they say, oh, I want to go play that because I played that in my childhood.
Lindsay Daniels is manager of Decades Arcade, a curated collection of about 130 games, many acquired by a highly skilled surgeon at UVA.
Our owner, his name is Paul, but others know him as Dr. Yates. He is a practicing physician at UVA. He's a retinal surgeon. He uses fixing pinball machines and arcade cabinets as his stress reliever.
For kids, she says, these games offer a different experience, the chance to play with friends in person.
It is a much more enjoyable experience for a lot of them to be able to have a party in person with all their friends and play video games in person. There's not as much of that culture of going over to someone's house to play video games as there used to be.
Many parents and grandparents delight in sharing one of their first loves with kids. Dr. Yates wanted to provide a space for family-friendly recreation when, in 2018, he and Daniels opened their first arcade in a warehouse near downtown Charlottesville. But as word spread, they had to move.
Customers were wanting a party room, and all of us wanted air conditioning, which we didn't have there.
Their current location on the downtown mall features a series of rooms and corridors, including an old bomb shelter in the basement. It houses pinball machines up to 70 years old. Daniels enjoys showing off those antiques and offering lessons in science, technology, engineering, and math, or STEM.
I love to open up a pinball machine and show people inside. I tend to do this for field trips or if anyone is excited about it. Pinball teaches you so much about everything in STEM. There's a lot of physics, there's a lot of mechanical engineering, electrical engineering, and so I can teach people about what that world was like before computers, because increasingly people don't know what the world was like before computers, right?
The enterprise relies on a team of pinball and video game enthusiasts, some of them volunteers who love the old machines and know how to keep them going.
The arcade only exists because of a bunch of different people who have very specific skills. I have one guy who does video games. I have one guy who does pinball machines before computers. I have one guy who does pinball machines after computers. And then I have Josh, and he does video games and consoles. And he's been doing this ever since he was a kid and would sit at home and take apart a Nintendo and clean it and figure out why it was breaking and put it all back together again.
Hey there, welcome in. Have we been in before?
No.
How many do we have in our group?
Six.
Six it is, okay.
The cost is $12 per person for 2 hours or $17 for the day. On a rainy Saturday, Daniels notes the place is approaching capacity, 125 people. And managers in other cities, from Norfolk to Roanoke, Fredericksburg, and Richmond to Danville, have also discovered that there's still a place for pinball and other historic games. I'm Sandy Hausman.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy your Tuesday.